Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie Svedberg, and welcome to today's show. We have a wonderful training segment for you today on how to use social networking and social media to build your ministry. Our guest today is Chris Forbes. He has experience as a communication strategist and marketplace researcher with various organizations and ministries within the Southern Baptist Convention, including the International Mission Board, the North American Mission Board, and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. He's a certified guerrilla marketing coach and the author of Facebook for Pastors. He also has a new book coming out in July called Guerrilla Marketing for Nonprofits. I want to welcome Chris to the line today. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Oh, so glad you're here. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this for several months.
Well, I'm excited to share. I think social media has so much potential for ministry. I love doing anything I can to get the word out about it.
One thing that's really interesting about what you do, you call it guerrilla marketing. Okay, so just first of all, tell us, what in the world is guerrilla marketing?
Guerrilla marketing is a term that was coined by a man named J. Conrad Levinson, who wrote the book back in the 80s. On low-cost, no-cost marketing tactics, often small businesses, they would read the marketing books. They were for the big businesses, and he developed more practical, down-to-earth, small, grassroots marketing strategies. And over the years, I've became a fan of his books and read a lot of his books. He's got about 60 titles, and if you go to any bookstore, you'll see in the marketing section, several guerrilla marketing titles. Anyway, being low cost and no cost is ideal for ministries and nonprofits. And so this last year we finished up guerrilla marketing targeted for the needs of the social sector. So any ministry or nonprofit could benefit from that book.
So awesome. And, so whatever started you in social networking personally?
Well, in part of my work with the International Mission Board, they're investigating ways to use social media. I work with them on one of their magazines called Commission Stories. CommissionStories.com is their website that they talk about missions work overseas, and I help with social media on their Facebook and Twitter and such. But anyway, as I was reading about it, I thought there's so many things here and learning a lot about social media that I thought it would be important to write those things down and put it in something that's easy and accessible for a pastor, something that's brief. You know, pastors have a lot of things to do, so I want to try to make the case in an easy-to-read book that doesn't take a lot of time for why it's worth their time and effort to be available on social media, particularly Facebook. But since that book came out a couple of years ago, other social media have proliferated, including Twitter, which, you know, wasn't even on the radar at the time.
But apparently you hit a nerve, though, because that Facebook for Pastors ebook has been downloaded 140,000 times already. That's amazing.
I know. It really surprised me how fast it grew. And there's a group on Facebook called Facebook for Pastors, and it has about 7,700 pastors in there, and they talk about social media, but they talk about a lot of stuff, you know, pastors. And I've made friends with a lot of them. I have about 3,700 friends on Facebook that I interact with, and it's a, you know, for networking purposes, for someone who's interested in learning about ministries and what they're up to, it's great for me. But I learned a lot from a lot of folks, and people share a lot, and you know, they pay big money sometimes to send a minister and his staff to go to some of these conferences. fly across the country to interact with other ministry leaders, find out what they're doing, and share, ideas and ministry strategies and whatnot. And all the while, it's happening every day online. And so tons of benefit there.
It's really amazing. I was never going to join Facebook or be on Twitter or anything. And finally, last year, my coaches just said, you have got to do it. My business coaches said, everybody's looking for you there. You have to get there. And as soon as I got involved, I realized that it really can be the amount of input you have in it is what you have time for or what you have interest in doing. It doesn't have to eat up your whole life. And then the other thing is it's just plain a fantastic way to interact, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of scalable to the amount of time. It's well put. If you get what you put into it, and you don't have to sit there all day. But I think of it like, somewhere in the 1900s, someone came into the pastor's office and put a phone on his desk, and he thought, of all the other things I have to do, I'm writing with a quill pen for crying out loud. what am I going to do with this contraption on my desk? And now everybody knows it's an integral part of ministry to use the phone. And that same reticence that people have to try social media, I think, has been played out in any communication innovation that enters ministry, the overhead projector, sound systems, to email and now social media. It's another part of your day, and it is a network. Why wouldn't you want to be where the people are? I think biblically you see Jesus always going where the people were, and you want to talk about sheep without a shepherd. Get on social media sometime. There's plenty of need there for ministers to exert leadership from this, spiritual leadership in
and
those
even
networks.
Just by example, I can't believe how many people see the posts that I put out and will comment on them. Like I'll see them downtown or I'll see them at church and they'll say, well, I really liked that one you had about, it's like, wow, just by saying it myself kind of into thin air, if you would, it's just having a powerful effect on people. I think it's really shocking.
I've had one pastor, he didn't want to get on Facebook or, even bother with it. But he did. They were having an event at his church, and it's in a college town, and he knows. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like 74% of college students are on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You should be on there if you want to have a college ministry. So the college minister was kind of bold, and he said, okay, I will put the event on Facebook, but you have to promise to join Facebook. So he said, okay, he took the dare, he joined Facebook. Well, that event went out, and a lot of college students will use Facebook to schedule other things that they do. It's just part of a tool they use. If they want to study together or they want to talk together or whatever. And so that event went out there, and there was 70 college students, and it was something really, it wasn't a very super event. It was like a hayride or something, like that.
Yep.
And the pastor was surprised that there was more than 50 people that were new at this event, in this small college town church. Right. And it turned out to be a great event. And then he noticed another thing, that as he got on Facebook and a lot of the other college students were adding him as a friend, now, instead of having to constantly start the conversation with, so what's your major again, or, not really knowing, he could see, I see you guys went down to, Ardmore, to, I'm in Oklahoma, do X, Y, or Z, or, hey, that's a great looking motorcycle you've got. I like motorcycles. They have something in common, and it builds a lot more rapport, than we're used to having. In the church, it's very difficult in the space that we have to do worship and Sunday school or small groups or in the course of all the other activities. You find like you're just clinging to those moments where you're in the you're in the hall, the foyer, or over a fellowship meal, and thinking, I wish I had more time with these folks so I could get to know them better. I mean, how can I pray for them? How can I minister to them? And there it is, right there. you know, so many needs and opportunities, and there's a lot of blessing in it.
There really is. It's got so much potential, and we've got a lot of ground to cover today. We're going to come right back after the break and talk about how to make the most of your profile, what a profile is for those who don't know, and how to make the most of the one you get. So we'll be right back. It's possible that we aren't leaving. I'm not sure what's going on. Hang on one second here. I'm afraid that all of a sudden music is going to start blasting in our ears here. But it doesn't appear to be happening. Okay, well then we just roll with it. Well, if it does start, we'll just stop talking for a second because it won't stop until 30 seconds are over. I know that. Let's talk for just a moment about the profile then. When you register with any social network, you get to put up a little profile. And it's basically, if somebody hasn't met you before, it's the first impression that you have on them, of course, and it's also just a little opportunity. So what do you recommend for pastors who are starting with Facebook?
Now, some profiles won't, you know, you can't use your real name because it's already taken. But, like, if you're on Facebook or a network like LinkedIn or some other networking, don't give some, you know, unusual, you know, pen name. Use your real name because it's a way that people can connect to you in a number of ways. The thing I do is I use a profile picture instead of, you know, a picture of a celebrity or some goofy animal or whatever, so people can recognize you when they see you on the street. And I've found that there have been times where I'll run into people and they know me from Facebook, and I'm in a big church in Oklahoma, and so you know, I run into them and they say, yeah, we're Facebook friends, I didn't recognize them until, you know, they started using their photo. And, you know, I'm forever forgetting a new person's name, you know. And so if I can look them up on Facebook, you know, I can make sure maybe that's cheating. I don't know. Maybe, you know, but I think pastors know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
I was thinking, too, with that name recollection thing, I think the beauty of Facebook in a lot of ways, and I'm terrible with names and faces, really a weakness there, and I've just worked on it so hard, but it just does not come naturally to me at all. And one of the things that I've found is that people are very forgiving. Even if you're their Facebook friend and you meet them in real life, they're very understanding that you don't have everything about their life memorized just because you happen to be Facebook friends, because, you know, they know that they don't have everything about your life memorized either.
Well, because, you know, often, you know, if you didn't have Facebook, there's no other recourse than to go ahead and say, yeah, what's your name again?
For
the fifth time, mm-hmm. You know. Another thing is, every time, like, I'll use Facebook as an example, you have this opportunity to talk about, to put your, you know, your activities, interests, your favorite music, TV shows, movies, stuff like that. Sometimes people don't fill those out, or they'll, you know, they'll fill it out wrong. Now, if you put in some of your real interests and things that you're into besides, you know, teaching and preaching or whatnot, your favorite bands and stuff, that gives people a bridge for conversation, sort of like if you were in, you know, in a conversation, you know, in a public setting, and you said, you know, I've been to X place, or I've read this book, or whatever. And then people, that's a conversation starter. So what you do is you kind of put that there as, you know, a commonality. But another thing people don't know is that don't write like, you know, like I love NBA, because Facebook will turn that into a query of their database of everybody on Facebook who ever said I love NBA, you know, which is pretty good. But more people would just say NBA basketball, or, you know, or French cooking, you know. So whenever you write it that way, put a comma, so like if you put like French cooking, comma, NBA basketball, comma, and then keep going, whenever you click on that, it will show you everybody who's into NBA basketball in your, especially starting with your network. So that's a great way to get to know other people who are into the same things that you are. just by searching around and trying to add a few friends. Another thing, if you're on a network like MySpace, church planters, they can search for people based on those kinds of things. But another thing they can do, they allow you to search by zip code. And they have like this very detailed advanced search form. And I've worked with a lot of church planters, and usually whenever they start to plant, first they'll get a general profile, demographic profile of their community. So as an exercise, take your general profile demographics that you've gotten for your church plant and enter them as search criteria on MySpace using your zip code. You push the button, and there's people who fit the exact profile that your church is supposed to be targeting. You know, and that's a way to you can surf around and get to know those people. It's almost like a market research for ministers to see, you know, who's doing what kind of music do they like, what's their, you know, their style, or what issues are they talking about. The other thing on side of that is you can invite a few conversations with those people and could potentially even build a for a brand new church plant. Just by networking using those tools. So a lot of times people don't, when they create their profile, they don't realize that they're also creating networking opportunities for themselves. So don't put like those silly little phrases like, I love my little wifey poo because she's sweet and all, you know, they put silly things in there and they don't realize that they're limiting the functionality of the profile just by being cute. Or, you know, saying something. So that's a handy way. Another thing is that people want to see that information because it makes you real to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like the same TV show I like, or, you know, if you like the same kind of music I like, I feel like I know something about you and you're more approachable.
Mm. It's so powerful and it's so simple. It's just amazingly simple and fun and powerful all at the same time. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm interviewing today Chris Forbes, who's the author of Facebook for Pastors and a new book that's coming out in the summer. Guerrilla, what is it again? Guerrilla Marketing
Guerrilla
for Nonprofits. And that's already for pre-sale over at Amazon. I love that idea.
Yeah, you can go ahead and click on order, and then as soon as it comes out, you'll be one of the first ones to get it.
And by the way, everybody, if you're listening, if you go to MarnieSwedberg.com, my blog, you can download his ebook is there. Otherwise, your website name is MinistryMarketingCoach.com. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, you can get the ebook there. It's a free download. Just go to MinistryMarketingCoach.com, and there's a big banner button there says free ebooks, and there's a couple of free ebooks. You don't have to register or do anything to get them. Just download them. They're PDFs. Ebook sounds fancy, but it's a fancy word for PDF. And they're nice and easy to read. And there's a Facebook for Pastors and 25 free ministry marketing tools you can use with ideas for raising awareness about your ministry and your community.
Mm. So awesome. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. We're going to try a commercial break again here. This dashboard is being a little goofy today, but we're going to give it a try and come right back. And we're going to talk about what are good tips for networking with people in Facebook, and also should a church have a group or a fan page. We'll be right back.
Okay, ladies, who in your circle of friends would be an awesome speaker for local church women's teas, scrapbooking retreats, and stuff like that? We all have friends who are great speakers, but hardly anyone knows they exist. Right now, send a message to your speaker friend and encourage her to register at womenspeakers.com, the largest online Christian women's speakers directory in the world. There are free and paid listings available, and you know what? Your friend is going to love you for telling her about womenspeakers.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg interviewing Chris Forbes, the author of Facebook for Pastors. And also he is the, are you called the organizer, or what are you over at your group over there at Facebook?
I don't know.
Anyway, you're the founder of Facebook.
Administrator,
some name like that. Well, let's talk a little bit about having a fan page or a group page, and how do you pick, what are they, how do you know which one to do?
You know, I get this question a lot because people say, should I have a fan page or a group? And You know, it's not rocket science. I think there's benefits of both, and personally, I would have both. A fan page, what a fan page does, and you know, people might be turned off by the term fan, but it's just really a page. And what the fan page does is it allows you to create a profile, often people will want to create a profile like their own personal profile, but for their church. And so fan pages are designed to do that. So it's a way that you can friend with people and network with people similar to a profile, but for your church. And also, there are some things that you can do to optimize that page to make it look really good. If you have a chance, I would really appreciate take a look at facebook.com/commissionstories, and you can see the mission boards page there and how we have designed it where you can make it brand to your website.
Now, before you keep going here, the reason that you have to think about a fan page or a group page is because you're not allowed on Facebook to use a personal page for a business or a ministry. Is that correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. If you put one for your church, you run the risk of, whenever they get around to it, them deactivating your profile.
Right. So they lose everything in there.
You lose all those contacts that you have because that violates the terms of conditions that you signed up for. So you really do need to create a profile. If you're going to have a profile for your church, you should do it as a fan page. And you can not have a profile and just have a group, and that you could moderate that group with your personal profile. But groups are really designed for conversations, and it's more like a chat room conversation thread space. It doesn't have the same feel. Whenever people comment, it doesn't go into their news feeds. And if you're familiar with Facebook, whenever you update, what you update ends up on people's profile, on their news feed, so they see what all their friends are up to. So you'd want your church news to go out on that kind of, coconut wire or whatever of news that's in everybody. So they see, Aunt Tilly, they see, their wife, oh, there's an update from, the church. Now, the group is handy. The thing I like about the group is that if you are communicating with a large number of people, you can send messages to them in their inbox, and people tend to check their inbox more than when a fan page sends an update. It sends a notification, and those are not quite as, noticed as, like, I got a new message in my inbox. But the problem is that after a certain point, and I discovered this, on Facebook for Pastors, once you get beyond 5,000, they turn off all the messaging function, and there's no way you can communicate with your group, in mass. While a fan page, you can have unlimited number of fans and still send updates. So those are two things to think about, depending on the size of your ministry.
Go back for just one moment. And which is the one that lets you, that feeds into the news feed, the fan or the group?
The fan page.
The fan page does. Interesting.
That's
pretty huge. And I think the other thing is fan pages don't have limits on any numbers. Do groups still have limits? I know they used to.
Now, groups don't have limits to members, but after 5,000, you can't message them all.
Okay.
And so, but you can send updates. You could have 1 million fans, and you could send updates. They're just not as intrusive. That's why they do it. They don't want people feeling like they're being spammed.
Sure, right. Well, and that's pretty huge. Well, I know personally, the inbox, it doesn't work very well at Facebook from my perspective. I maybe get liable for that, but it's not really set up like a normal inbox where you can sort things and have filters or anything.
Yeah,
basically, everything goes into one bin and you have to just hand manually go through it. So it's very cumbersome compared to a normal email program.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about branding. When you talked a little about setting up a profile, and maybe just backing up for a second again, if you're listening and you're like, this is all Greek to me, I have no idea what you're talking about. when you go on to a site like Facebook, what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to first identify who you are with your profile, and then you want to do your little updates. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute here. But you do your little updates, and you have 140 characters or so, depending on which site you're at. But you have 140 characters to say something. And you can say basically whatever you choose to say and press the little button there, and everybody who's a friend with you, it will go into their news feed, and they will see it. And so that's basically the whole premise behind it. There's a whole bunch of other things you can do. You can do 1,000 things, million things, but that's the premise behind it. So when we're talking about branding a ministry, the first moment that would happen was when they're setting up their profile.
Right. You want to, like, particularly if you're creating a profile on a fan page for your church or organization, you want it to be consistent with how you want to present yourself to the community. And the catchphrase for that in marketing is branding. And the term branding is, you know, depending on who you're talking to, either, you know, it's a four-letter word to some people and some people is not. But really all branding is just managing your reputation. And if you're not managing your reputation online, someone else will. Someone else will be talking about you. People are going to carry on their conversations. And so it's sort of like whenever you get ready for, you know, to go out into public, you know, don't you comb your hair and, you know, put on, you know, clothes and you're putting together, you're presenting yourself, you know, as, you know, a tidy, you know, person who's, you know, approachable. And you really need to think through those things on social media. If you don't add that information, if you don't add any information, it's not there. Right. Like if you walk into a room, there's a lot of unspoken, you know, nonverbal communication just about who you are. Well, it doesn't translate onto the web. You have to populate that. Hmm. You have to put that information in there. And so it serves a good purpose to know what are the things that are important to you and what do you want to communicate to the people that you network with online, just like you would think about how would you want to appear if you went and you went to a conference somewhere or if you were, you know, out in public. Are you representing Christ and are you representing your church, you know, appropriately?
Yeah, it's so important. I know when I wrote the book, I came out with an e-book in the fall called Sane Social Networking in 15 Minutes a Day, because for me personally, I just don't have much time. And so my people were asking me, how do you do that in 15 minutes a day? And I've got pretty large groups. I think I've like over 4,000 at Twitter and, I don't know, 1,500 or something at Facebook. So it's a lot, but what I have to do is I just have to fit it in the minutes I have. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I don't have time for all this, you do have time for it, and not only do you have time for it, you really need to be there. It's so important. But one of the things that happened when I was researching the book is that it wasn't when I was researching the book. It was when I had first gone online and joined these different social networking places. I joined Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and LinkedIn and a few others. And what happened was I just, you know, you wanted to see people from church or whatever that you knew. And I happened to find this one gal at one of the sites, and I clicked on her photo to go to her page, and it was all full of really, really explicitly sexual invitations. And I thought, wow, I wonder if she thought that no one was seeing this. Because when you put something out there, you might as well just think, I'm on the evening news. I'm on Fox Network tonight. And so whatever you're putting out there, if you wouldn't want to see it on the evening news, you should not put it on your page. It is very powerful marketing. It's huge. It has a huge effect, and it has a ripple effect. So you just want to be really careful. Now, beyond their profile setup and the deeper side there, you know, all their interests and all that kind of stuff, is there any other way that they brand? I mean, I can think of my own way, but what do you talk about in Facebook for Pastors about branding when they're making comments?
Well, you know, I think you need to pick what are the topics that you're most comfortable with, and, you know, how you want to, you know, if you're, it's like if you're sending, like I represent, for example, guerrilla marketing on one of my accounts. And so I'm gonna be consistent with the message and themes of guerrilla marketing because that's what people are subscribing to. So, you know, you want to stay together and have, you know, kind of your area that you talk about. Again, it's your profile, so it can be about anything that you want. But a lot of organizations and ministry leaders, because they're thinking about their church, they get focused on just sending out their messages. I don't want people to over-focus on just, you know, using it as this communication channel that you just spam out whatever you want to talk about. You really do need to dialogue.
Right.
And you do need to have, you know, interact with people. This is a collaborative medium that you're using, so you need to interact. But, you want to stay on message also, right, if you're trying to use social media as a advocacy tool for your cause or reaching out to potential people that need your ministry.
I think what you need to do, from my perspective, and well said there, but from my perspective also, what you need to do is differentiate yourself from a commercial. If you're simply a commercial, people change the channel during commercials. At least that's what happens in my house. You know, they just don't want to see commercial after commercial after commercial after commercial. And pretty soon, if you just only do that, you really run the risk of having them say, you know what, I don't really need to be seeing all these all the time. I can just put, you know, block that user, get out of that group, and not do that anymore. They're really not on there to be marketed to. Even though it's an incredibly powerful marketing tool, that is not why people go on Facebook. And it kind of irritates them. I'd say the majority of people feel irritated or infringed upon if you use it as only a marketing tool.
Yeah, you can use it as a marketing tool, but you can't.
Absolutely.
Only use it.
Well, I think, you know, and from my perspective, and I think, you know, I've only been on it for just over a year now on any of these. And from my perspective, the thing that people give me feedback about what they like is they like that I just live out loud. You know, I just talk about, you know, earlier today, one of my posts was incredibly busy day, period. And then I said, just breathe. And then I put period. And then I said, slow dancing with Jesus right now, period. And then I said, ah, period. And then I pressed send. And that was all it was. It was just letting people into a corner of my life. Yesterday, one post was, you know, having lunch with my adult son and daughter. How much fun is that? You know, I mean, I think that if we let people see into our lives what Jesus looks like in our lives, that has so much more power. And are you really just marketing your church, or are you marketing Jesus? Because in the end, the thing we want them to do more than come to our church or come to our ministry or hire us or buy our book, the thing we want them to do is we want them to find Jesus.
You know, using social media for ministry or evangelism, you know, I think a connection with someone for ministry is like building a one-ton bridge between you and the person. And the deal is the gospel is a 5-ton message. And you can't send a 5-ton message across that 1-ton bridge unless you break it down over the course of time and deliver it 1 ton at a time. And that's what social media allows you to continually stay in touch with folks. And you'll reconnect with people that you haven't seen in years. I've had 3 high school reunions and 2 college reunions since I got on Facebook. So there's lots of, you know, bridge building. I break down activities on social media into 4 things. You're sharing something like, you know, hey, I saw this was an interesting video, or I like this link, or I love this book, or that was funny, you know. You're sharing stuff. You're creating stuff, like you're writing stuff. Like the other yesterday, my fun tweet was, no, kid, that's not Guitar Hero music, that's just music. you know, that was one of my nieces. she said, oh, that song is great. It's a great Guitar Hero song. No, that's not a Guitar Hero song. That's a song. So you create stuff that shows your personality. Then there's the other things that people don't think about. There's the networking. There's the finding friends and finding people who you have things in common with, just like you would at a conference. And then there's the ongoing things of participating. You know, you see what they say. It can't just be you sending out your message about what you want to talk about. You get on and look in your newsfeed, see who's talking about something's funny or something you like or something that you could share with someone else. You know, people like to be, you know, if they put stuff out there, they want, you know, you to interact with it too. They want to hear what other people are thinking. It's a conversation. So I've created this kind of like, we're calling it the Maslow hierarchy of feeds. And basically, the idea is that, you know, you have these four things that you could do. You know, when you get online, this is my little 15 minutes or thing. I love your book, by the way. It's great.
Oh, thanks.
And people should download that because it's a handy, just, you know, how-to recipe guide. And you'll be doing, you'll probably be doing more than 15 minutes after, you know, you get so familiar with it.
That's the thing, and you were in the middle of a sentence there, but I just want to encourage people, too. 15 minutes a day is that's what I do for my maintenance, I would say, maintenance. That's what I just have. You know, if I don't have any time, that's what I do. I just do 15 minutes a day. And then a couple times a month, I go on and I play on there. I just go to everybody's pages and look at all the pictures, and I just have a blast.
There's a lot of cool things on there. I would do, like, what I do is, like, you know, you need a starting point. And like 15 minutes a day is a good starting point. I want to write this ebook, another free ebook someday called Social Media for the Cautiously Narcissistic. And you know, basically just kind of help people see, you know, how to do these little things. And one of the things I would recommend in there is to say, you know, when you go online, just start participating. At least try to find, look around and spend a few minutes and see if you can find at least, you know, four things that just grab your interest that someone else has done, and either comment or like or retweet or, depending on your network, interact with it somehow. Mm-hmm. Generally, if you look around, there's something there that's, you know, interesting. Then look around and find new friends. You know, two or three new friends. So like I have 4, 3, 2, 1. So I try to find either a new network I want to join, like a group, or I want to follow someone on Twitter, or I want to add a new friend or something like that. So that way my network is growing. It doesn't have to be huge. It just needs to be, you know, genuine. And then I look for if there's something I can share that, you know, I've seen, you know, either it's something that someone forwarded me in an email or something I like or heard on a talk radio show, like you know, the morning radio show, something was funny or something I want to comment, I can share what someone else says. And then the final thing is, you know, maybe once a day I can worry about what I would put up there that would be original, you know, that I wrote something original.
Exactly.
And it's a handy just like 4, 3, 2, 1, you know, participate, network, share, create. Just find yourself so you're balancing it, so you're not just like always, because if you're always only sending out your stuff, then that gets, you know, people don't want somebody who just talks about themselves all the time.
Exactly.
And so you should need it. You need to interact as much as you share.
This is Marnie Swedberg. We're visiting today with Chris Forbes. We got a lot left here to cover. When we come back from break, we're going to cover what trends do you see in social media usage lately, and do you think Facebook is going to be around for a while? We'll be right back with Chris Forbes.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.
Welcome back to Marnie's Friends of Blog Talk Radio, and we are excited to have you here today with us. Thank you for joining us. And our special guest today is Chris Forbes. He's the author of a free ebook that you can download right there at the site, or you can go over to his site, which is ministrymarketingcoach.com, and download his free ebook called Facebook for Pastors. It has been downloaded over 140,000 times, and he currently has a Facebook group of about 7,700 members, pastors who meet at Facebook and talk about lots of different things you said earlier. One of the things I was thinking about is how when I'm on, and I'm not a pastor, but I've been a Christian for a long time, and I have a strong sense of what's right and wrong as far as what's helpful in people's lives and what's hurtful. And a lot of times when I see a post on Facebook of someone I love, oftentimes a young person, and they're expressing things in their post that make my skin crawl. I just want to scream.
Oh, yeah.
But I never, it would really take the Holy Spirit breaking my mind to get me to write something harsh in that moment, to correct them. Really, what I would say is to correct them. It's really not there for that, even though at times I have put in gentle comments and loving comments. It's really important that we don't come in like a bull and take over their space, because literally they have invited you into their most private, really, thoughts a lot of times, into their most frustrating moments. And if you come in and you see them that way all the time, or you make a judgment about them, it will really be a bad thing.
Right, yeah. You want to, when people say the wrong thing in your presence, you don't, if you just jump down their throat, you're going to lose the opportunity to be an influence on them later. Mm-hmm. But it is informative in ministry to know, some of where your folks stand. And maybe sometimes, humbling that, they're not where they need to be yet, and that's a great opportunity for you to pray for them and look for a way to speak the truth in love,
Right.
And other people also need to build in accountability in ministry, just like, if you're meeting on, at church, you want to have accountability when people are meeting. Pastors, it's a good practice not to meet alone with a lady, but have someone else, or, a window or a door open,
mm-hmm.
Same thing, a lot of pastors, their spouses also have access to their profile, so that they're in,
right.
In other people, there's accountability there.
Right, absolutely. Now, before break, we said we were going to come back and talk about trends a little bit. Why don't you take us there?
Well, one thing I think, people say, is Facebook going to be around? It's a fad. Or Twitter, it's just a fad. And I agree that, like everybody used to be, MySpace was a bigger fad for a while than it is, and now Facebook has outstripped it. And then Twitter, reached this place. The individual networks may disappear. There may, not be as much Facebook use someday, or Twitter or whatnot. But I believe social media is here to stay.
Oh, yeah.
The form of media, of communication, we can't put that back in the box and go back to broadcast, messages where people don't have the ability to feedback. Even commercial websites, Amazon and, other big retailers have a lot of social interaction with customers. You can create your own profile on Amazon.com, which, is another great way to network with people, but I won't go into that. Social media is positioned to be around for a long time, so you need to start figuring out how to work it into your ministry. It's transforming conversations on terms of theology, and the interaction of different denominations and faiths. It's creating, influence on your young adults and youth who are, before 20, 30 years ago, there weren't a lot of people from different backgrounds. Well, now a lot of theological questions that you never would have to address in church, are coming up. So it's transforming discussions. When people go to conferences now or sit in church now, they may be tweeting out exactly what you say. And, by the time you get down from the pulpit, it could be on the news, And so it creates a new form of communication, new form of immediacy. Some churches are even building that into their worship service and allowing people or asking people to text, during a certain kind of sermon emphasis, and get it. And they have ways to project the results right there on their, projection screens. And it's creating new forms of interaction. All the newspapers and traditional media that you're familiar with, even print books, are creating, are moving toward or influenced by social media. A lot of reporters are not just writing stories. They're also interacting with people on Twitter or on their Facebook profiles, or there are comments at the bottom of the articles that people write these days that the reporters interact with. I lost my train of thought there. I hate it when I do that. social media... I lost it. I'm sorry, Marnie.
That's okay.
I actually had a point.
I've never been there myself, Chris, so I can't understand it all. I'm so bad at that.
Oh, I know. When you share whatever you share, there's a lot more feedback now. So pastors used to stand in the pulpit and. And then used to project their message. And now there's, people wanting a dialogue. And you need to build that into your ministry.
I think people are, especially the younger generation right now, the kids are really looking for very real people to hang out with. They are very tired of people who do one thing at church and go do a different thing in their everyday life. And I tell you what, social networking is really bringing that home to all of us as we interact. And they want you to love them where they are. We all want to be loved where we are in our hopeless, weakest state like this. If it isn't for Jesus, we are just hopeless for sure. And we all try to put our best foot forward. And in church on Sunday mornings, that's of course what we do. And social networking is stripping away a little bit of that facade and causing us to, forcing us really to be a little more real with people, to be honest. But it's interesting, even though you want to be real, you want to be honest, people really like their image of you also. So there's a fine balance there.
They need to know that that you're vulnerable and transparent enough to approach so they can trust you.
Right.
But they don't want you to be, hey, you don't have to let all your hair out down, everybody, some things, just TMI, the young people invented the term TMI, too much information.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is just so important to remember who you are. Who are you? Who are you, and who do you want to be online? How much of a glass house do you want to have? It doesn't all have to be glass. In other words, you don't have to. For instance, I don't share every last conversation my husband and I have, or, I don't share every last thing about my life. I have certain areas that become public territory, and believe me, when you put it out there, it does become public territory. And then there's other areas of my life that really we maintain a level of privacy, because that's also important to be like saying, well, now we all have to take showers outside now. That'd be silly.
Right.
Of course you can have privacy, and you decide. You get to it's beautiful. You get to decide where those lines are.
There's some things that pastors and ministry leaders might want to try to use the social media to influence, as a ministry tool without being, too preachy or too appear to have too much of an agenda. Throughout your day, like you talked about a minute ago on your devotional, kind of had a, what'd you say, dancing with Jesus?
Yeah.
Kind of a spiritual dedication or a devotional thought or a thought that you might have about a particular passage of Scripture. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's a really great social networking site called YouVersion.com, which is just a bunch of different Bible versions and allow people to do a running commentary, create a profile and do a running commentary. It's really a nice tool. Also works on their iPhones, and so you know, that's a, you know, there's a whole network about that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Talking about observations, you know, a lot of times when pastors are preaching, you know, something happens, you know, and their kid says something that ends up cute in a sermon. And, you know, you of course you want to get your spouse's permission before you use anything that she says or he says. But, you know, sometimes you run into a situation that's a life application situation. It's a great time to make a point, mm-hmm. Just from a regular situation. I just remember what I was going to say that it came to me. That's so funny how that works. I was just thinking, I was just thinking, whenever you read a book, like I'm forever reading a book, like I'm talking to you now, I read a book or somebody I like, if I go look and see if they're on social media, generally they are.
Yeah.
And so I can get to know them. And sorry, that just, you know, that's how my brain works. I apologize.
No, that's fine. No, but, I'm just like that too. But you know that, yeah. It's so beautiful. It's really so beautiful because it's all very interactive in that way. And I remember back to like the 80s or the early 90s when we would go to social networking events, or we still go to conferences, and that's good. It's not like we should quit doing these things. But what it's done is it's made it so available for all of us to rub shoulders with almost anyone right in the moment that we have time to do it and the interest to do it. It's really incredible.
Think of the, you know, next time your church takes a mission trip, a lot of phones are working overseas, and you can send back, or email, you can send back pictures, you know, live as they're happening, you know, with cell phone, of what your folks are doing, and people can be with you in the moment, literally, sharing with you. When you come back, if you want, you can go into your Facebook and tag all the kids that went on the mission trip, or adults went on the mission trip that are also your Facebook friends. And then now their friends see what they did on a mission trip, and it gives them the conversation starter to, you know, to talk about their, you know, their mission trip or ministry thing that they did. There's so many different things that you can do to incorporate in your ministry.
Yeah, and for you who are thinking, well, that's just for the teens, I don't believe it. One prediction is that the largest group that will be joining Facebook very soon is going to be the parents that are just reaching the stage where their kids are having kids. Because what happens is their children move to different cities, they get married, they have kids, and where is that picture of that baby going to be 5 seconds after it's born? It's going to be on Facebook.
we're there already, Marnie. The fastest growing segment on Facebook is the 55-year-old woman.
Yeah, right.
And they get because they want to keep up with grandkids or kids who have moved away. And then they get hooked on Farm Town or something fun. And then they run into a couple of college or high school classmates. And, you know,
they're hooked.
So they're hooked. And the reason the kids, young, you know, 20-somethings and under, you know, are into texting so much is because baby boomer parents are kind of helicopter parents, and they want to, you know, they always want to be able to be in touch with their kid all the time and know exactly what they're doing, so they will buy them cell phones so they can always call them, and they'll, you know, you know, they'll join their Facebook so they can see what they're up to. And so the young people who adopted social media first pulled all their parents in. And so it used to be it was just a young kid thing, but it's not anymore. It's every age group. Last time I spoke at a women's conference and about Twitter and Facebook, just those two things. And the youngest person was 19 and the oldest person was 75.
Yeah.
And they were all using it. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just huge. And if you aren't already there, my illustration that I always use is, you know, back in the 70s, in the late 70s, I refused to pump my own gas. I was not going to ever do that. But, you know, after a while, I figured out that if I ever wanted to get anywhere, I was going to have to because all the full service stations went away.
Yeah, you have to go to New Jersey to get gas then.
Oh my goodness. Anyway,
the only place you can't pump your gas is New Jersey.
You know,
I
really think it's the same thing with social media, social networking, is that eventually you're going to see the handwriting on the wall and you're going to go, oh my goodness, I have to do this. And you're going to find out, like I did when I pumped gas, it's really no big deal. It's not as scary as it seems. And you can do it in just a few minutes. It's fine.
Yeah, it's not a matter of if, it's really a matter of when.
That's right.
Just like
That's
now,
right.
You know, it's not a matter of, will our church have a telephone? You know, it's not a question.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know the other thing for people who are a little bit concerned about, maybe you have a big following, or maybe you have a kind of a bigger church, and you haven't even done this yet, and you're looking at all these other people going, oh my goodness, they have 150 friends, or they have 1,500 friends, or they have 15,000 or 150,000 fans, and you're saying, but I will look stupid if I join right now. Everybody started with zero. So it's really okay, and it grows fast. The more fans you have, the faster it grows. That's all the difference is.
Another thing about they have this theory called 6 degrees of separation, and the idea is that you're only six people from any other person on the planet. The relationships will. With social networking, now the theory is like 3 degrees of separation.
I believe it.
And if you just had 12 friends, and each of those 12 friends had 12 friends, within 6 degrees of people, you'd be nearly 3 million people.
Right.
So just because you have a handful of friends doesn't mean you're developing a ministry that's great, or that, you know, you don't have that. You know, in fact, you lose something by I have a lot of friends. You lose something because you can't keep up with all those people.
Right.
You know. So it's better not to have too many friends.
That's kind of like it's better to only have a small church, not too big of a church. There's always ways to get around these things.
Well, big churches are – what's healthy about big churches is the small groups.
That's right. That's right. You break it down. You keep breaking it down. Oh, this has been a great hour, a lot of ground covered. If somebody gets your e-book, Facebook for Pastors, just real quickly, Chris, what will they expect to see in there?
They'll see an overview and kind of like why you'd want to get into Facebook and some real basics of how to set up a profile, and also input from other pastors. There's several people, several pastors and other ministry leaders and, you know, lay leaders, and they're just talking about how they use social media. So it gives you ideas.
Now, how about your guerrilla marketing for nonprofits? What'll be the difference with that book?
Guerrilla marketing is more targeted at the nonprofit that's looking to raise funds, mobilize advocates, and influence people to positive behavior or positive action. A third of all nonprofits are ministry related, so it's very compatible with the ministries, though it's not I wouldn't call it a Christian book, you know, with a Christian theme. Very compatible with Christian ministry, but it works with any nonprofit. You know, everybody needs to raise money, and everybody wants to get the word out. But very few people realize that marketing is a process that can help you improve just about everything your nonprofit does, and that's what that book will show you how to do.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with my son yesterday, and he said, I suppose you might take offense at this, but he said, I just think that that's what God is using for marketing. And I said, no, I don't take offense at all, because I do believe so. I believe that, Jesus beyond, you can't put it into words, but, I mean, what an amazing marketing plan to send him in person and to have him be a touchable, real man living out a real life on earth so that we could see it with our eyes. You know, he became flesh. That was part of God's marketing plan to draw us to him. And what we want to do with our ministries, of course, is to reach as far and wide as God enables us to do. And social networking is obviously a great way to get involved in expanding your sphere of influence, whether it's to more people or whether it's just deeper into the lives that you already have. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg, and our guest today has been Chris Forbes, the author of Facebook for Pastors. I hope you will visit his website at ministrymarketingcoach.com. www.facebookforpastorsmarriage.com. There's the free resource, Facebook for Pastors, as well as other free resources there. And I hope you'll check out his new book that's coming out in July. You can already learn about it over at Amazon and pre-order it there. It's called Guerrilla Marketing for Nonprofits, and you'll want to do that now so you don't just forget, like things get busy and you never think of it again. So go over to Amazon.com and check that one out, Guerrilla Marketing for Nonprofits, Chris Forbes. His last name is spelled F-O-R-B-E-S. This is Marnie Swedberg. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been just a pleasure to have you here with us and to have Chris here. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Had a great time.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.